Lord, we just want to thank you this morning, God, that you are real, Lord, that you are here with us, that you are the high and lifted up one, the majestic one, the one who's seated on the throne. Lord, the one who's in ultimate control of everything that happens on this earth, Lord, and you are in control of our lives this morning, God. We want to thank you, Lord, that you are, that you have paid a price, Lord, for each of our lives this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we respond this morning to the work of the cross, Lord. We thank you that we are not of the old covenant, Lord, having to bring sacrifices and bring so many things, Lord, to get into your presence this morning. We thank you that there's a price, Lord, that has been paid. We thank you for the gospel, God. We thank you for the good news that you have come to set us free, Jesus. You have come to heal us, Lord. You have come to deliver us. You have come to, Lord, cause our hearts to cry out to you, Lord. And this morning, God, we cry out to you, Jesus. I just sense the Lord wants each one of us right there where you are. It's just to pray to him, to speak to him. Sometimes we're sort of waiting for God to do something. But the Lord wants you to cry out to him this morning. Amen. He wants you to engage with him. Just sense some of us are waiting, hoping something would happen, hoping there's more music, hoping something would help us to get into the presence of God. And God says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. God wants us to confess with our mouths this morning. So let's cry out to him. Some of us need to do it. We need to activate our mouths and say, Jesus, Jesus. You need to mention the name of Jesus over your lives this morning. Amen. Jesus has won, guys. We need to get excited. Jesus Christ has come to set us free. Jesus Christ has come to give us life. And this morning, I just sense God wants to give us life this morning. Amen. So let's cry out. Let's speak the name of Jesus over our situations. Let's speak the name of Jesus over our minds. Let's speak the name of Jesus over our situations and over our families and over our circumstances. Jesus, we cry out to you this morning, Lord. This is about your presence here in our lives, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, there's no other name. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. Let's just engage with Jesus this morning. He's the lover of our souls. Thank you, Jesus. What a beautiful name. There will be no other name, Lord, in eternity than the name of Jesus. Lord, this morning your name is our life, Lord. Your name is our lifeline, Lord. Some of us are hanging on, but you're saying, just call upon my name. Call upon the name of Jesus. Reach out your arm and see you touching Jesus' garment this morning. See yourself pushing through, touching his garment. Receive life this morning. Receive healing this morning. Receive peace this morning. Receive joy. Thank you for joy, Lord. The joy of our salvation, Lord. This morning we come to draw water from your wells, Lord. There's everlasting life. It's everlasting life. If you can pray in the Spirit, just pray in the Spirit right now. Activate your spiritual language. Activate your, go to the gym as it were this morning and activate, exercise those spiritual muscles this morning by praying in the Spirit. Then just open your hearts to what Jesus wants to do this morning in your life. He's already started with something. Just open your heart. Rend your heart, the Bible says. And surrender your heart to Jesus this morning. Jesus, this morning we open our hearts, each one of us, Lord. We want you to come and activate, Lord, our lives. God, we thank you for life this morning, God. Our bread is not to eat food, Lord, and to make lots of money and to be successful, Lord. Our food this morning is truly to do your will, God, and to finish your work. And I thank you, Lord, this morning that you activate us this morning to do your will, God. Lord, I thank you that everything that I'm going to say this morning, God, everything that is going to come out of my mouth, Lord, may it be pleasing unto you, Lord. May it bring glory to your name, Jesus. God, I pray that every word that you want to impart into every heart here this morning, I pray this morning that you would do it, Lord. I declare, Lord, hearts to be good soil this morning, Lord, to bear 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. Lord, that is our expectation this morning, is that by your word, Lord, that you would activate our faith again, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would increase our faith, that you would help us to take the next step this morning from where we are to where you want us to be. We bless you this morning for your faithfulness. We bless you for the mighty work that you are doing in our midst. We thank you, Lord. We honor you in Jesus' name, we pray. Everybody says, amen. Let's just give a clap to Jesus this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, band. It's wonderful to be here. I think just turn to someone next to you and say, I like the warm clothes that you've got on this morning. Because winter is here. We're in the middle of winter. Amen. It's the 21st of June. Although the longest night, okay? So, the shortest day, the coldest. I don't know if it's going to be the coldest. But it's lovely to be in Bloemfontein. There isn't a better place in South Africa, amen, than the Vrystaat. Some of you need to get excited about the city that God has called you to be in. I'm excited to be here. I was on holiday for a couple of weeks, and you know, there's no greater place than home. Amen. You can go to the most beautiful place. You can go to have a wonderful holiday. But you know what? I just said to my wife, I said, I want to fulfill a purpose. God has got a purpose for us to pursue. I'm missing my purpose. Let's get back to Bloemfontein. Amen. Okay, our purpose is here. God is stirring. So the other day I went for a run. Okay, I'm quite a runner. Some of you know that. So I'm activating my running muscles again. Okay, I'm so excited to get fit again and to run. It's weird. Every season I seem to start to run in the winter. Like summer's the best time to run, but I seem to find it nicer to run in the winter. I don't know why. But so I'm in that cycle again of I'm amped in the middle of winter to go running. So I did a 10K race the other day, and I'm not very fit at the moment, so I've got quite high expectations of where I should be when it comes to running a 10 kilometer. So we did a bit of running, but now I'm running this 10 kilometer race, and I haven't run more than 5 kilometers for about, like, probably almost 6 months, I would say. I don't know when last I ran a 10K. So I entered this 10K race, and it was like a fun run there at one of the pre-primary schools, yeah, in Bloemfontein. And so I'm looking at all the people entering, and I say to Esther, this is just the competitiveness in me. I say, it looks like I've got a chance to maybe win this race. You know, like I didn't see any super athletes there or anything. And so anyway, so I start at a pace, but eventually I found myself second, and then I was like leading the race. But I was like wondering, am I going to finish this race? Because I haven't run 10Ks for a while, and I'm starting at quite a pace. And I don't know if I'm actually going to finish this race, but I've now already put pressure on myself by leading this race after 2 kilometers. And now I'm going to have to, you know, keep leading this race because it would look bad if I just stop or if I, you know, don't win the race. But it's that time when you realize that this is what we've been called for, this feeling of being stretched. And, you know, after 5Ks, you think, okay, I'm quite tired now. My body's not really enjoying this too much. But you know, there's just nothing like that feeling of overcoming. There's nothing like that feeling of stretching yourself. And ultimately, you almost die when you go across the line. But there's just a great feeling of being stretched and of realizing that you've pushed yourself beyond maybe what you actually can handle at the current moment. And so I believe for us as people, we are always growing and we always need to grow. Amen. We're always improving ourselves. We're always stretching ourselves. It's amazing how many people study lots of things. We improve ourselves all the time. We grow ourselves in the natural. We stretch ourselves when it comes to physical stuff. And that's what we're made for as people. As people, we are made to stretch ourselves and to grow and to improve ourselves. But you see, it's the same as Christians. As Christians, we are made to grow and to stretch ourselves. Amen. There's no greater feeling than to grow and to overcome things in our lives. There's no greater feeling than to grow and to discover new things. But often in our natural lives, we're prepared to do it, and we're prepared to make lots of sacrifices and go through nights to study lots of degrees to improve ourselves and to equip ourselves for what we feel is our calling. But yet when it comes to our Christian life, many times, are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to stretch ourselves? Are we willing to grow and to sometimes be a little bit uncomfortable like I was in the second half of that race? It's not very comfortable, but during that time you realize you're being stretched and this is what you're made for. You're made sometimes to be uncomfortable. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about being comfortable with the uncomfortable. I just want to warn you, a little disclaimer here this morning. Okay, I need to put in a disclaimer, I guess, as a preacher, otherwise I'll shock people. This message this morning is not going to be very comfortable. Do you know what? There's a joy. Amen. There's a joy that's set before us. A joy of growing as Christians. And so I want to warn you, it's not going to be very comfortable, but just bear with me because it's not very comfortable for me either to grow and to be stretched. See, I want to say this morning that as Christians, our primary goal is to become like Christ. Amen. Our primary goal is to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And I want to say something else this morning. I want to say that there's no neutral in the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes we love to put the gearbox in neutral because it's just easy. But I want to say this morning that there's no neutral. You're either growing towards Christ, an upward spiral of growth, or you're growing in a downward spiral away from Christ. Amen. There's no neutral, guys. I want to just shake a few paradigms here. You're either growing towards Christ. We're either becoming more and more like Christ. And if we're not doing that, the only other option is we're actually becoming less like Christ. It's called backsliding. Sometimes we think, oh, we're not backsliding. We're not growing. We're sort of in the middle. There's no middle ground. Anyone experienced that in your Christian walk? Let's be honest now. Come on. We're either growing and stretching ourselves and becoming more like Christ, or else we're growing away from Christ. It's a bit challenging this morning, okay? But just bear with me. Why is it like that? We're living in a time of constant tension. Guess why? Because the kingdom has come, but it hasn't fully come. Jesus has come already, but you know what? He's coming back. And so there's always this tension that should be there, and we must get comfortable with that tension in our lives. Amen. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, but you know what? We must get comfortable with the fact that we are living in a time where there's tension, because the kingdom still hasn't quite come. A scripture that I haven't got up there says that since the days of John the Baptist up to now, the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. That talks about this tension that Jesus said that there would be. When I started to come, Jesus said, when John the Baptist said, I'm coming, and until I come again, there's going to be this tension, because the kingdom of God has to make way for the kingdom of darkness has to make way for the kingdom of God. And so I don't know where you are in at your life, but I want to say if you're not experiencing some kind of attention in your life, then we've got to talk about, are you really following Christ? Do you really know Christ? If you're not experiencing that tension, what do you experience when you look at the city? What do you experience when you go to your classroom or your workplace? What do you experience in life at the moment? Do you experience a little bit of a frustration? If you do, that's good. It's good news. You're at the right place. If you're not, then you're at the right place this morning. Because I trust that you will leave here experiencing a desire, not to be frustrated, but a desire to say, God, I want your kingdom to come. I'm not satisfied with the status quo. I'm not satisfied with this nation and the situation of this nation. I'm not satisfied, Lord, with the world and the nations of the world not knowing that there's only one answer. There's only one gospel. And you know what? There are lots of gospels out there. Just ask people who've just gone on a mission. Just ask anyone who's gone to Africa. There's lots of gospels out there. In fact, you don't even have to go very far. Just open your Facebook. Open the media. Watch TV. There's lots of alternative gospels out there. So I want to ask you this morning, what do you experience when you see your family? What do you experience when you see your friends? What do you experience when you see cities and nations? What do you experience here in Bloemfontein? I was at an interesting time praying for a friend when we were on holiday. We went on holiday with a couple of friends, and there was this couple that we didn't really know. But I enjoyed this one guy so much. He's also in the full-time ministry at the moment. But I just so enjoyed him. He's such a funny guy. He's always making jokes. And I just so enjoyed it because I realized I'm not that type of guy. And I need that type of guy in my life. I so enjoy humor. I so enjoy when people crack jokes. And I was laughing the whole time. But I could see this guy, he's got an incredible testimony. But I just felt the Lord saying to me, you must pray for this guy before you leave. Because he's got a calling on his life and God wants to do something. I want to do something in his life, said the Lord. So I prayed for him and it was so awkward. Everyone else had left. It was just my wife and I and the two of them. So I prayed for him specifically. And as I was praying, I was caught so by surprise by the Holy Spirit because I started to weep. My wife was so uncomfortable. She couldn't even pray because she thought, what's happening now? Because I started to weep uncontrollably. My hat was like, I had this hat and it was, yeah, and I was holding Nathan and he was all wet and my hat was wet from the tears. And I don't know what happened, but I knew it wasn't me. It was God. Because I'm not this cry type, you know. I'm quite in control and, you know, calculated. Let's get serious here and let's just be. But I started to cry uncontrollably because when I was praying for him, I felt the Lord. I started to pray for the country and I believed God said that this guy has got a calling to unite people because he can connect with absolutely anyone, black, white, Afrikaans, English. He's an English guy from Natal. You should hear him speak Afrikaans. It's awesome. But he can connect with anyone. And so I was praying for him and I just felt the Spirit come upon me and it was so uncomfortable and half embarrassing because I didn't know how they would receive it. But I know he received it well. He said, sure, that was amazing afterwards. But it wasn't about him. It was just about the nation and the situation in this nation. That there's still so much division and so much stuff that is not of God in this nation. But I don't know about you. I don't know what you experience when you think about where we're at in life at the moment. And are you satisfied with the status quo? Martin Luther King Jr. said the following. He said, I have a dream. Anyone heard that speech? I have a dream about this and that. I have a dream. He kept saying, I have a dream. You just listen to the speech. It's awesome. I have a dream today. Wow. And everyone is like, but you know what? This morning I want to say that God has a dream. God has got a dream for your life. God has got a dream for Bloemfontein. God has got a dream for South Africa. God has got a dream for his kingdom to come. But you see, there's one great enemy in our lives. There's a massive enemy for us as Christians. It's the C word. It's called comfort. Amen. It's called comfort. Our greatest enemy is not necessarily sin. It's not necessarily the resistance of the devil. Because they are definitely enemies. But I believe our greatest enemy, or one of our greatest enemies, I can't say whether it's greater than other enemies, but this morning I want to look at this enemy of ours. The greatest enemy is that of comfort. And so I want to speak about being comfortable with the uncomfortable. Are you with me this morning? I trust that we'd move out of our comfort zones this morning. Because I really believe God wants to move us to a place of faith this morning. Matthew 16 from 24 to 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. Just to give a little bit of a background here, Peter has just rebuked Jesus. Jesus just told him, Peter, listen, you're on this rock. You are the rock because you've understand that I'm the Christ. I'm the Son of God. And on this rock, I will build my church. He's saying, Peter, you're no longer Simon. You're not Peter. I've given you a new name. And then Jesus starts to tell the disciples and Peter that, listen, yeah, he's going to have to die this terrible death and he's going to have to suffer. And Peter thinks, I think I need to rebuke Jesus now because Jesus is not quite talking the truth here. And so he tells him, Jesus, far be it from you that this happened to you. And so Jesus just turns around to Peter and he calls him Satan. He says, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. So that's the context of the scripture. And it's just after that, so he's just affirmed Peter, and then he's just rebuked Peter. And then he speaks to his disciples, and he says the following. He says, if you want to come after me, you need to lose your life. Realizing that Peter had totally missed it, because Peter was now just being affirmed, and he had just been told, sure, you're the one I'm going to use, and then he had just totally missed it, and Jesus was also fine with that. But he had to make a correction to all the disciples, a teaching opportunity. See, Peter wanted to be comfortable. Peter and all the disciples wanted Jesus to be this earthly king, to overthrow the Roman rule and to get back into the place where Israel could rule again. And so they thought Jesus was this physical Messiah, that they were going to have this earthly Messiah. And they thought, Jesus, what are the chances that you're going to die? You are the king. You are the Christ. And Jesus says, not what you thought. I am the Christ, but not in the way you think. And so then Jesus explains to the disciples, and I believe he's speaking to us as well this morning. He says, it's time for all of us to lose our lives. It's time for all of us to count the cost in terms of following him. And then he ends off and he says, you know what? There's going to be a reward in heaven. Anyone heard about rewards in heaven? It's a bit of a scary thought, don't you think? It's scary for me because I realize there's going to be rewards for me. It's a reward is not just to get to heaven. That's the best reward. And that's the reward all of us should hopefully at least have and have assurance of, that the first reward will be that we're going to see Jesus face to face. But then he says, some of you are going to receive rewards. How? According to your works. Scary stuff. We're going to be rewarded according to our obedience. Amen. Isn't that scary to realize how important obedience is, how important hearing the voice of God is? Because it's going to determine our rewards one day. So I want to look at a few things this morning. What do we need to become comfortable in, which is a bit uncomfortable for us? Just three things this morning. Jesus mentions them. He says, if you want to come after me, in other words, if you want to know me, if you really want to know my heart, if you want to know what I'm about and what I've come to do, I haven't come to give you a nice life. Amen. Because there's another gospel being preached at the moment that says, you know, Jesus, you can be the best you that you can be. You know, 10 steps to prosperity or success. That's one of the many gospels being preached at the moment. But the gospel that I understand is this one where Jesus says, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. And I know this is challenging because I have not arrived, guys. And I'm not preaching this out of a place where I have done it, because I have not done it. I miss it many times. So I'm preaching to myself here. So it's challenging. But I believe God is calling all of us as individuals, but also as a church, to say, Jesus, we want to come after you, but there's conditions to coming after you. You know that if thing? Just go back to that other scripture, Mariska. If, previous one, if anyone desires to come after me, there's a condition there. You know, if you see the word if, there's a condition. There's certain things. So let's look at those three. And I believe God wants us to become comfortable with these things. And it's not going to be perfectly comfortable because we're still human. We still miss it. But I believe the Lord wants us to become comfortable with these things. And the first thing is called letting go, denying yourself. Because you know what? It's a bit uncomfortable to deny yourself. Amen. It's a bit uncomfortable to let go. It's a bit uncomfortable to be out of control. But Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. You see, it's uncomfortable to realize that you're a sinner. Amen. It's uncomfortable to be told that you're not always right. That you actually miss it many times. It's not very comfortable. It's uncomfortable to give up control and to let go. It's uncomfortable not to worry. You know, because worry makes us comfortable many times. It gives us the sense of, as long as I worry, then things are okay. It's uncomfortable to trust God fully. This week we had an interesting experience. We've applied for certain schools for Matthew to go into next year because he's going into grade R. And so we applied for the school here in Universitas Chokies. And unfortunately, we did the application a bit wrong because part of the application is that you have to stand in the row at 4 o'clock in the morning to make sure you're first in the queue to get your form in. And if your form doesn't get in there, then sorry, you know, you'll be last on the list if you arrive there at 8 o'clock like we did. Okay, we just totally forgot. I don't know why. And so we thought, oh, there go. We're 18th on the waiting list now. All the people have heard already. So we applied at Gray Primary, pre-primary. So we sent the application form in, wrote the best CV we could for Matthew, because we know we're competing against a lot of people when it comes to Gray. But anyway, so we hear that the three other people, all of our friends that have applied, that have got kids the same way, they got in, and now we have not received no email. So what is your first reaction? You start to worry. You have been rejected, you know. So you start to stress, and so my wife stressed a little bit more than me. I must be honest here. I was a little bit more relaxed, I think. But I guess women just are more concerned about their sons. You know, mothers are very concerned. It sometimes turns into worry. My mother is the worry pot. She worried a lot about stuff. And so my wife made sure that her worry drove her to stand on Wednesday morning after the public holiday. She was going to go to Gray and say, what is happening here? You know, to shake a few people up, because my wife is a feisty character. Okay. She shakes a few people up. She's very loving and she's very nice to people. But when you step on her toes, you know, she will shake you up a bit. So I'll just bless you. You go. Only to find that, you know, they just had the email addresses. Oh, King, well, yes, of course you applied. Did you not get the email? No, email address wrong. Sorry. Okay, thanks for letting us worry. But you see, so many times we worry and we stress about things that we are not supposed to control. And that's just a stupid little example, but God is calling us, guys, to prioritize the kingdom of God first. And he says, all those other things, the money and your daily provision and your clothes, you know, I'm going to provide for you. Why worry about all these things? But you know what? I believe we worry about all these things. It's because we're not too concerned about the kingdom of God first. You see, it's a little bit uncomfortable to trust God for financial provision sometimes. It's very comfortable to be in total control and to make sure all your ducks are in a row. And I'm not saying we must do nothing. Don't get me wrong. Don't go to the other extreme now and say, let's just sell everything and we go and live somewhere. No, don't be disobedient to God. But it's about how much are we worried about our financial provision? How much are we worried about not making it one day and we forget about the kingdom of God? It's uncomfortable to put your own desire second and to put the kingdom of God first. Amen. It's a little bit uncomfortable. In fact, I don't want to say it's a little bit. It's very uncomfortable to put the kingdom of God first because it goes against everything in our natural beings. It's sometimes uncomfortable to sacrifice a Saturday afternoon just to come and pack chairs to make sure a church is set up. Amen. I'm just using that as a slight little example because if we can't be faithful in the little things, if we can't be faithful in being uncomfortable, I don't want to knock people. I want to say thank you. The setup yesterday went, so the setup this whole holiday has been awesome. And guess what, guys? The exams are finishing. We won't have to do packing desks away next week. Praise the Lord, okay? But twice in the year, we'll have to do it. In exams in June and exams in November, we'll have to sacrifice a little bit of time on a Saturday afternoon just to come and make church happen. It's just a little example, but it's so far-fetched from where God wants. God is not too interested in this. He's interested in lives being changed. Amen. So this is just a small part, but if we're not going to be uncomfortable or being comfortable with the uncomfortable in even going on a mission. Think about just going on a mission. There's guys in Malawi at the moment. They're on their way back. God did awesome stuff through Jacobus and the team. Thanks for your prayers. But it's a little bit uncomfortable. Speak to them. Speak to them, Yanni and Haynes and Jan and Belinda that have just been on a mission. It's a little bit uncomfortable to step out and seek first the kingdom. Amen. But God wants us to become comfortable with denying ourselves, giving up control, and saying, your kingdom first, Jesus. Am I speaking to anyone this morning? Am I speaking to hearts that are listening? Amen. Second one, Jesus calls us not only to deny ourselves, but he says, I want you to take up your cross. Not my cross. I've already taken up my cross. Because I've taken up my cross, guess what? It's possible for you to now take up your cross. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You know, that's a scripture we love to quote, and it's awesome because God gives us rest. But what rest does he really give us? What joy does he really give us? What life and peace does he really give us? He gives us the following. He says, take my yoke upon you. That is the rest that I'm going to give you. The rest is when you've got my yoke upon you, when you're learning from me, because I don't force you. I'm gentle. I'm lowly in heart. And you will find rest. You will find true rest because I don't force you, but I invite you to come to my life that I want to give you. I invite you to come to take my yoke that is easy and my burden that is light upon your life. The Lord showed me a couple of months ago, he showed me that, you know, we're always going to have to carry a burden. You can write that down. Those guys that are taking notes. That is the tension that we're living in, guys. We're always going to have to carry a burden. There's only a choice in terms of the burden. Because we're going to have a burden all the time because we live in a sinful world. We're not in heaven yet. One day in heaven, it's going to be awesome. But we're always going to have to carry a burden. Either we're going to carry the burden of our own selfish desires, our own sinful nature, or our own flesh, or we're going to have to carry the burden, which is so much lighter and so much easier, of seeking the kingdom first. I heard a quote once that says that Christians don't have rights, they only have responsibilities. I don't know who said it. Someone preached it once. But Christians don't have rights, you see, and we live in the human rights culture. We live in the culture where everyone has a right. And I, as long as I say my say, it's great because I have a right to say my say. But as Christians, we shouldn't work like that. We shouldn't operate like that. We have responsibilities. And so I want to ask you this morning, what is his burden? What is Christ's burden? What is the yoke that he talks about and the burden that he talks about? And it's simply the kingdom of God. Seeing the kingdom of God come in your life, through your life. It's the responsibility to see the kingdom advance. It's the responsibility to use your gifts and your talents to consecrate them to God and say, God, my life is your life. As a Christian, I want to grow into your likeness. I want to have your desires, my desires. I'll never forget the prayer I prayed before I went into ministry, into the full-time ministry, because I just said, God, I'm sold out to you, and this ministry thing, God, doesn't define me. It's not like I'm going into the ministry because, you know, I want to mean more for your kingdom. I said, God, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I want to glorify you. And if it's in the ministry, God, I want to make a difference. If it's as an engineer, Lord, if it's as an accountant, if I must change my career, then I'll do that, Lord, to make the biggest difference for you. That was the sincere prayer I prayed. And for anyone who's called into the full-time ministry out of you guys here, I want to say to you, pray that prayer and say, Lord, if I must stay as a doctor, if I must stay as an engineer, or as a whatever I am, then Lord, I want to do that, but I want to bring glory to your name. I want to advance the kingdom of God through my life. That is my desire. And that was honestly my desire. And the Lord said, you know what? I have called you. Just relax. You will make a difference. That's where I want to use you. But I knew I was already making a difference as an engineer. We were already praying every day for our company. And we were trusting God to get the Christians together and to see God's kingdom come right there where we were. And I want to say, right where you are right now, God wants to bring his kingdom to pass in your life. Amen. It's the most exciting thing that we can live for, guys. It's the most exciting thing to take up responsibility, to take up ownership. And you know what? to become comfortable with that. Because it isn't comfortable. It isn't comfortable right now to think, oh, I've got to pray for my workplace. I've got to pray for my class. I've got to sacrifice a little bit to see God's kingdom come, because it isn't natural. My natural man just wants to be comfortable and wants to see someone else do it, and I can share in that joy. But some of us have been called to be pioneers. Amen. And I want to say this morning, if you want the rest of Christ, take up your cross. No one else can take it up for you. Take up your responsibility. Denying ourselves, following Christ. Just want to read a piece here from this awesome book by Dutch Sheets. I really want to encourage you guys to read this book. It's called Intercessory Prayer. If you ever thought prayer wasn't necessary or prayer doesn't mean anything, just read this book. It will inspire you to realize that prayer is so needed. And I just love what he says here. It's just a piece here where he says God needs our prayers. And he talks about this passage in Ezekiel 22, which says, "And I searched for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord." Ezekiel 22, 30-31. He just talks here about, does God really need our prayers? And does God operate? And then he says, basically, that the implications of this are staggering, because he says that basically God is saying that if I'd found a man, then I wouldn't have poured my indignation on people, but yet I could find no one. And so he goes on, he says, the passage is clearly saying, while my justice demanded judgment, my love wanted forgiveness. Had I been able to find a human to ask me to spare this people, I could have. It would have allowed me to show mercy, because I found no one I had to destroy them. And Dutch Sheets writes, he says, "I don't like the implications of this passage any more than you do. I don't want the responsibility. I don't like to consider the ramifications of a God who has somehow limited himself to us earthlings. But in light of these and other passages, as well as the condition of the world, I can come to no other conclusion," he writes. "Either God wants the earth in this condition, or he doesn't. And if he doesn't, which is certainly the case, God does not want the earth in this condition, then we must assume one of two things. Either God is powerless to do anything about it, or he needs and is waiting on something from us to bring about change." And he goes on to say, this truth could intimidate us with the responsibility it implies, or even condemn us because of our lack of prayer. But another possibility exists as well. A responsibility can also be a privilege. A responsibility can be enjoyable. Amen. If allowed, this revelation can elevate us in our hearts to new positions of dignity alongside our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus. Jack Hayford said, "Prayer is essentially a partnership of the redeemed child of God working hand in hand with God toward the realization of His redemptive purposes on earth." And he concludes like this, and he says, "Let's rise to the occasion and embrace the incredible invitation to be co-laborers with God, to be carriers of His awesome Holy Spirit and ambassadors for His great kingdom. Let us represent Him." And he's talking here specifically about prayer, but I believe it's about anything in the kingdom of God. Let us represent God. It's not only about praying. It's about saying, "God, what must I do to take up my cross and to see your kingdom come?" Comfortable in taking responsibility and ownership. And then lastly, he says, not only must you deny yourself, not only must you take up your cross, but then you must actually follow me. And I believe we cannot follow Jesus fully if we don't do the first two. It's a progression. Amen. He starts by saying, first you've got to start by denying yourself. That's where it starts. And it starts by being born again. That's why we call people to a place of being born again, committing their lives to follow Christ. It's only the start. Ask anyone who's recently been born again. It's just the start, because all hell breaks loose. Yes, it's a joyful experience. It's awesome. But you know what? Suddenly you step out of darkness into light. And the devil does not like it. And therefore Christ says, start by denying yourself. And you know what? You must continue to deny yourself every day. But then you need to go on to not only deny yourself, but you need to come to a place of taking up your cross. And only then can you really, fully follow me. We all know the parable of, not the parable, but the story that Matthew writes in chapter 14 from verse 25, where he sent his disciples across the water and he knows what's going to happen. He's so in control because there's a storm going to come and they're going to be quite shaken. They're on their way to minister and he spends time in prayer on his own. And then he decides he's going to walk across the water to these disciples. He's going to give them a little bit of a fright. He loves them so much, but you know, he's just going to show himself to them in a different way. And so, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. I mean, you can imagine what they thought. They'd never seen anything like this. Yeah, Jesus comes to them. And you know what this talks to me about is Jesus is so excited about each one of us. Jesus sometimes sends us into stormy seas and he sends us across to go on another mission. But you know what? He'll always come to us. Sometimes he'll come to us in a bit of a weird way, not like we expected. But his love is so great for us, guys. And he always comes to us. And so he comes walking on the sea because he can't leave his poor disciples struggling in the storm. And so, but he just tests their faith a little bit. And Jesus wants to test our faith. Especially when we've started to follow him and we love him and we give our lives to him. He starts to test us. And immediately Jesus spoke to them. He says, I'm just going to stop your pain now because I can see you stressing. Don't worry. It's me. Hello. I'm here. But they think this can't be. And so Peter again answers and says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." I don't know if, I mean, Jesus must have known, he knows everything, so he must have known that Peter was gonna want to do what he did, because you know, Peter just was so emotional, he wanted to follow him with everything, and he wanted to control him a little bit, and so he thought, someone is gonna maybe want to do what I'm doing. And he was so excited about that, and he said, "Peter, come. See if it is really me." I mean, imagine the faith. Jesus didn't tell Peter to walk on the water. But he just demonstrated what he could do. And Peter saw something in Jesus. Peter said, "I want to do what you do." And so he walked on the water. It says, when he had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? No man had ever walked on the water. The miraculous happened. And Jesus said, when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, once again, Jesus' love is always there. Immediately, as soon as we cry out, Jesus was there to save him, stretch out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased and those who were in the boat came and worshipped him saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." See, Jesus wants us to follow him, first of all, into the unknown. If we really want to follow Jesus, you know what it's going to take? We're going to have to be prepared to follow him into the unknown. But guess what? It means you're going to have to let go. Amen. Those control freaks amongst us, me included, we're going to have to let go if we want to really go into the unknown. Because we're going to want to calculate everything in our heads. Oh, this is not balancing. You know, the accountants among us, these sums do not make sense. And you know where I believe God wants us? You know where the unknown is mostly around us is the darkness of this world. Because it's so uncomfortable to go into the darkness of this world. It's so uncomfortable to go where we know we might be rejected, where we know people won't receive us, where we know lives won't maybe always be changed. Are we prepared to go into the unknown? Because that's what Peter did. Peter stepped out into the unknown. He didn't know what was going to happen. But he could see that Jesus was there. And if Jesus is there, guys, we must be there. Because you know where Jesus is? Jesus is with the prostitutes. Jesus is with the sinners. Jesus is with the tax collectors. Jesus is with the ungodly. Jesus is in Wiesbaden. Some people got saved there, okay? Just ask them for their stories. They met their wives there, okay? But and he's now, you know, it's amazing when God turns these people into ushers, you know, and they welcome people into the house of God. Amen. But Jesus is in the dark places. Jesus is in the unknown for us. Some of us have come out of it, and it's time to to go back then. I'm not saying if you've just been saved, you know, don't, if you've just been saved from alcohol, don't go and minister to the people who are drinking, okay? But we shouldn't be fear of the, we shouldn't fear the unknown, we shouldn't fear the darkness. Then Jesus is calling us to follow him into the miraculous. Amen. So that he can change the world through us. That's why he said, Peter, come. I want you to just come to me because I want to show you something. I want to show you that I'm going to do it. Because as soon as you look away from me, as soon as you look away, you know what the miraculous does? It destroys us. If we look away from Jesus. If we just look a little bit away, you know what? It can either bring us into a place of pride where we think we are actually the miraculous, the miracle workers, or into fear where it's just going to sink us. But Jesus wants us to follow him into the unknown, into the miraculous, and he wants us to follow him into a place where we become more like him. Less fear, more faith. And it's all about keeping our eyes on Jesus. Ultimately, Jesus wants us to follow him into heaven. Because that is our destiny, guys. But you know, it's sad if we come to heaven one day and we're the only ones standing before Christ. We haven't represented anyone. We didn't make a difference in anyone's lives. We're just there and it's fine and we've had a great life. I don't know how the reward system is going to work in heaven, but I believe it's simply our obedience to Christ. All of these things are uncomfortable for us. All of these things aren't very comfortable. But I believe God wants us to become comfortable with the unknown, comfortable with the miraculous, comfortable with becoming like Christ, and comfortable with going to heaven one day. You know, some of us aren't excited about heaven. We just take it for granted, but we don't realize what a privilege it is, and we don't realize that some people are not going to heaven. And I think that should stir us. See, what if, my last scripture, what if we could all become comfortable with the uncomfortable? What if we could really step out and walk in faith? I think we'd become like Christ. I think the kingdom would come. I think God's dream will come to pass. And you know what? His glory will fill the earth. Romans 8, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You see, we don't like to talk about the uncomfortable. We don't like to talk about suffering. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. You know what the uncomfortable does? It makes us grow. It stretches us. You're tired. You've got 3 or 4 Ks to go and you've run as fast and as hard as you can. But God says, no, you've got to finish this race. It's not very comfortable always, but it's a great sensation. Because you know this is what you're made for. And in the kingdom, it's exactly the same. God is calling us to a place to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him. In other words, we need to give up control. We need to take responsibility. We need to become like Christ. Albert Barnes, one of the commentators, said the following. A little poem that he wrote in one of his commentaries. Shall I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord, to bear the cross, endure the shame, supported by thy word. We'll read again. Shall I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord, to bear the cross, endure the shame, supported by thy word. I want the band to come up now. I want to say, last thing, church, myself included, it's time to give up our comforts. Amen. It's time to get comfortable with a little bit of uncomfort and discomfort in our lives. And it's a constant battle because as Westerners especially, we don't like discomfort. We don't like suffering. And you know what? This gospel is not a popular gospel. It's not a nice gospel to hear. Because we think Jesus has just come to give us an awesome life and everything's going to be fine. Or we're going to be more than conquerors. And yes, we're going to be more than conquerors. But more than conquerors means that we must go through a little bit of a discomfort. And so, I don't know, it means different things for each person. It means different things for every person in this room. It means maybe you must just make a choice to step out this morning. Maybe for some of us it means to give your life to Christ this morning. For the first time, or maybe for the 100th time. But just say, Jesus, I want to follow you. And it's going to mean I'm going to be a bit uncomfortable. It's going to be a humbling experience because my pride says no. But it's going to be uncomfortable to lay down my pride. For some of us, it's just going to mean repentance. We're just going to have to repent this morning of always wanting comfort. And for everything we do, and a good gauge for you is to ask yourself, what do you do every day? Do you do everything to make your life as controlled and as comfortable and as easy as possible? Or do you make your life a priority to say, God, your kingdom has come before my comfort? So I want to say this morning, there's no condemnation in Christ, okay? And I know this isn't an easy message, but I think it's the most joyful message that we can hear. Why? Because we lay down our lives. We say, Jesus, my sin and my struggles and my stuff, I lay it down for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, just go and read the Apostle Paul's life. Read how much struggle and suffering and stuff he went through. Read the first disciples. They were not accepted by everyone. They were quite rejected. They were willing to count the cost because they spent time with Jesus. Jesus discipled them and he said, listen here, it's not always going to be cool. You're going to have to be crucified upside down at the end of your life. But before that, that's not going to be the worst. The worst, that's going to be a joy for you. But you're going to be rejected by many people. You're going to be ridiculed. But it's time to get comfortable with that. I believe this is going to set us free. I believe this is going to make us a church and a people that God will use. Because his eyes are looking to and fro who he can use. He's looking for people who are loyal to him and to people who are truly following him. Guys, we're living in deceptive times. We're living in the end times where there's so much stuff happening. It's scary times. But at the same time, it's time for us as Christians to say, we're not going to go with the flow. We are going to stand up for Jesus. So let's all close our eyes and bow our heads this morning. Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Lord, your word is truth, God. Your word is the highest authority in our lives, God. And this morning, we realize, Lord, it's so uncomfortable to respond to your word. But Lord, we've tasted and seen that you are good, Lord. We've tasted that your character is good, Lord. Your love is awesome. Your love covers our sins, Lord. It takes away our sins. It doesn't just wipe our sins under the carpet. It takes away our sins. It gives us new life. Lord, you are sovereign this morning and you're calling us to partner with you, Lord. You're calling us to be intercessors, Lord, to be warriors, to be people that have laid down their lives for you, Jesus. This morning we repent, Lord. We want to turn away, God, from being comfortable. Lord, we want to start to get comfortable with that which is not so comfortable in our natural lives. But we know, Lord, in the supernatural it becomes normal. It becomes comfortable, Lord. To walk on water becomes comfortable when we look at Jesus. But if Jesus is not there, it's the worst place, Lord. It's hell, and we don't want to, Lord. If the unknown, Lord, if there's darkness and you're not there, Jesus, it's hell. But, Lord, where you're calling us into the darkness, where you're calling us into the unknown, Lord, we want to go there. Where it's a little bit uncomfortable, Lord. We want to be conformed to your image, Christ, because only the discomfort many times brings us to the place of conformity to your image. And Lord, many times our lack of obedience even brings us to a place of such frustration, a place of such discomfort. Lord, this morning we want to repent of that. We want to repent of our disobedience, of missing you and of allowing frustration to creep in, of allowing passivity to creep into our lives. Lord, we just worship you this morning. Lord, you are a mysterious God. You're a God who is just beyond, Lord, our minds and our own feelings and our emotions. You are so great this morning, Jesus.